On today's edition of Locked On LSU, we'll look at the full picture. Returning production, returning talent, recruiting class talent coming in, transfer portal class talent coming in. How does LSU look and how does LSU compare to the rest of the SEC, to the rest of college football? We'll get into that plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on YouTube as well. So check us out on the go, on the road. You can listen to us. You can also watch us. Locked On LSU. My name is Caroline Fenton. You can find me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I appreciate you for being here and I appreciate you for joining us every single day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Hope everyone remembered. If you're listening, then maybe it's hopefully not too late. Go get some flowers. Go get some chocolates and some balloons for the person that you love. But I want to get into something that I complained about. I think this was last week. And I was kind of nitpicking an article, or more so a study from Bill Connolly of ESPN.com that ranked each college football program, each FBS program, 1 through 131, 132, however many college football programs there are out there, in terms of returning percentage of production, which is, you know, really just a roundabout way of saying, okay, let's look at how much your offense and defense was broken down offensively, defensively, and then averaged out to the overall return of production. And okay, so you know, whoever accounted for X percentage of offensive production last year, if that player is coming back, you know, you add that into the percentage production returning. And LSU in that list was listed 32nd. LSU had 81 percent of the offense returning. That's what helps whenever your leading receiver's coming back, your leading rushers are coming back, your leading rusher was your quarterback and your quarterback's coming back. So 10th overall, 81% of the offensive production coming back from 2022 to 2023, but 72nd in defensive production, 60%. So I was nitpicking that because I said, okay, yeah, but that's only looking at what you're losing and not what you are bringing in. Because, yeah, you could look at the LSU offense and you're returning your quarterback, your starting quarterback, you're returning Malik Nabers, your leading rusher, and your starting quarterback was also your leading rusher, and then also your next three leading rushers behind Jaden Daniels are returning as well. So you're returning a whole lot of offensive production. But what it failed to highlight was how many players you were adding in the holes that you were losing. Because LSU lost almost its entire secondary. Your only two returners were 1-7 Banks, who was sidelined for a majority of the season with an injury, and LaTerrence Welch, who barely even saw the field. So, you know, you're losing a Bernard Converse, a Jay Ward in the secondary, and losing so many pieces of the secondary, but also failed to mention how many pieces LSU was adding in the secondary, adding a Deuce Chestnut, a Denver Harris, a five-star transfer, a Zy Alexander, a four-star transfer. So you could say that, yeah, LSU's losing all of that production, but they're also adding in players that you could expect to produce even more than the secondary did this past year. And that's no knock on the 2022 secondary. It's just more so a testament to where the program is at this point. So I was getting frustrated at those rankings because I didn't think it meant anything. And you look at Texas A&M, who is ranked 7th overall in these rankings in offensive and defensive percentage production that's returning. So yeah, you know, 82% of Texas A&M's offense was returning, but also Texas A&M's offense was ranked 93rd in the country. It was ranked 12th in the SEC in yards per game, 13th in the SEC in points per game. So, yeah, you're bringing back a whole lot of the production, but that offense didn't produce a whole lot. So, as you can tell, it got me worked up because I just felt like those were numbers that didn't really mean anything. Like they were with zero context whatsoever, and it didn't necessarily paint a fair picture of what you were bringing in 23, but more so what you were returning from 22, which doesn't always paint a fair picture. But I will give credit to Bill Connolly because Bill Connolly follows up. And I think it was probably because Bill Connolly listens to the podcast and he was like, yeah, no, Caroline, you're right. You know, I should add a little more context. I'm totally kidding. But Bill Connolly released the most recent rankings of the preseason college football SB Plus rankings. And all of the factors that weighed into these rankings provided so much more context and provided so much more than the previous rankings that really just ranked offensive and defensive percentage production returning. It's a whole lot of words that I have to get out there. But this is what this new ranking weighs. One, returning production. That's important. I'm not saying that returning production wasn't important. It's just not everything. So one, returning production is part of the equation. Number two, recent recruiting. I think that is a very, very key piece of the puzzle that was missing in those past rankings. Because let's say, you know, you're losing your best pass rusher, but like LSU did in B.J. Ojulari. But hey, you're also bringing in a five-star pass rusher in Deshaun Womack. Those things are important. That's the context that's important. Recent history is another thing that is playing a part in it. It says using a sliver of information from previous season, 2 to 4 years ago, gives us a good measure of overall program health. You know, I think that that's fair, you know, because you could look at how much Alabama really is losing. For example, in the past ranking, Alabama ranks 125th in returning production, percentage of production, 43% of the offensive return, 38% of the defensive return. That's not a whole lot. But also, Alabama still has the third best odds to win the national championship in 2023. So that gives a little bit of context of, yeah, Alabama lost a whole lot, but Alabama loses a whole lot every single year, yet they still bounce back every single year. So it's giving credit where credit is due to programs that have been performing very well. Sometimes that's not necessarily fair. You could look at, I mean, use LSU in 2019 and 2020 as an example. You could say, okay, well, we'll give credit to LSU for being the best program in the history of college football in 2019, but they lost a whole lot and they weren't able to recreate that kind of success or even sniff that kind of same success in 2020. So I think that there is room for that. I also think that that could be a little bit flawed. But let's look at these rankings that provide a lot more context. In these rankings, with all of those things combined, returning production, recent recruiting, and recent history, LSU ranks at number 7. And I think that's so much more fair of a ranking that's considering so many more factors than just returning percentage production. Where LSU ranked 32nd overall, now with all of these factors combined, LSU is ranked 7th. Offensively, LSU ranks 10th. Defensively, LSU ranks 14th. Now, what does this mean in the context of the rest of college football? It still has LSU finishing 4th in the SEC. It still has LSU finishing 2nd in the SEC West. Georgia holds the top spot. Ohio State, Michigan, and Alabama at number 4, ranked 5th offensively, 9th defensively. Penn State at 5, which I feel like preseason, Penn State always gets a whole lot of love, and Penn State is always pretty underwhelming. But anyways, Penn State ranked with these factors, considering these factors, 5th, Tennessee, 6th, LSU sitting at 7 above Oregon, Texas, and USC at 8, 9, and 10, respectively. So I think that this is a more fair list because it takes in a whole lot more factors. Still has LSU finishing 4th in the SEC, 2nd in the SEC West, not going back to Atlanta. Now, there are so many more things that could play out from now until kickoff in September. And yes, I know that you have to play these games on the field and these preseason rankings really essentially mean nothing. But coming up next, I want to provide a little bit more context to those rankings because I think that's important. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar, because if you're like me, You've got a sweet tooth. You love to indulge in delicious treats, but you don't want all the fat and all the calories, and you don't want to feel gross about yourself, like how you feel after eating a dessert or a candy bar. You've got to check out Built Bar. With Built Bar, healthy is actually tasty. I mean, they're so delicious that you won't even think that they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution, and what makes them so good is they're covered in 100% real chocolate. I mean, who doesn't love real chocolate? And flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie. That's one of my favorites, is the peanut butter brownie. So delicious. Coconut almond is another delicious one. So I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like candy while maintaining amazing macros. And that's what's even better about it, is they're only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. I like to eat a Built bar, you know, throughout the day, in the middle of the day, when I'm starting to get those chocolate cravings, when I'm getting hungry, but I don't want a full meal, but I want to stay full for hours. Built Bar is perfect for that. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been telling you about ordering Built Bars at Built.com, which you still can do. Or you can go to your local Walmart, go to the pharmacy section, grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if Sam's Club is more convenient for you, you can run in there, grab a 13-bar box with the hit flavors brownie batter and churro. Indulge in those Valentine's chocolates today, but make up for it tomorrow with Built Bar. You can thank me later. Well, thanks again for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So looking at this list, again, Bill Connolly of ESPN crunched all the data, crunched all the numbers, and came up with a cumulative ranking based off of returning production, recent recruiting, both via transfer portal and in this upcoming recruiting class, and recent history, kind of giving the benefit of the doubt to the programs that have historically performed better than others. LSU ranks 7th. 4th in the SEC. I think, which also, we know that the SEC is the most dominant conference in all of college football. But the fact that LSU was ranked 7th in the country in Bill Connolly's rankings per the analytics and the data and the numbers, you know, all of the nerdy stuff, ranked 7th and 4th in the SEC. I mean, that is just a huge testament to just how difficult this conference is. I never want that to go unnoticed or undernoticed, just how hard it is to win in the SEC. But that's just part of it. So 7th overall and 4th in the SEC behind Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee, respectively. Georgia overall ranked 1, Alabama 4, Tennessee 6, LSU 7. But where I think LSU has the advantage, if we're looking at those 4 programs, and then it's a close race with those 4 programs, because you don't see another SEC program until Texas A&M at 17, Ole Miss at 18, Florida at 20, which I'm kind of surprised that Florida's ranked that high, if we're going to be completely honest with you. You know, Mississippi State, Kentucky, 23 and 24. So all of the remaining SEC programs kind of in the late teens, high 20s, it's really, you can see a very obvious divide between the top 4 and the rest of the SEC. But I'll continue. Where I think LSU has the advantage is continuity. And continuity doesn't come just in the form of a roster. Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee all ranked above LSU. Well, Georgia is replacing an offensive coordinator this offseason. Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator, was just hired by the Baltimore Ravens today to be their offensive coordinator of the future. Todd Monken heading back to the NFL. So Georgia's replacing its offensive coordinator. Georgia's also replacing its starting quarterback. Now, Carson Beck has been on the sidelines for the past 3 years. I believe that Carson Beck is prepped and ready to be the starting quarterback of the future for Georgia. But let's not be naive to think that there might be a little bit of a learning curve there. Carson Beck has had the privilege of being able to see the field several times throughout the season and in past seasons. But once you're the starter, once you're the guy, it may take some time. You may have a little bit of a learning curve. Now, you might not. Carson Beck has been on the sidelines and has been learning long enough that he might just be, you know, chomping at the bit and more than ready to go. I don't know. I don't see Carson Beck in practice every day. I'm not a Carson Beck queen. But that I think that there is something realistic to look at, that Stetson Bennett starting quarterback for the past 2 years, the guy who has gotten Georgia to the national championship over the last 2 years, whether you think he played a large role in it or not, that's the reality of it. He was the starting quarterback for the national championship team 2 years in a row. He's gone. You got to fill it in with Carson Beck. Georgia's also losing one of their top defensive players in Jalen Carter to the NFL draft this year. So Georgia, not just continuity on the roster, also doesn't have a whole lot of continuity in the coaching staff. Got to replace the offensive coordinator. That's pretty important. That's pretty key. The guy who's calling your offensive plays, pretty important guy. Alabama's replacing both coordinators. Alabama's replacing their offensive and defensive coordinators. We know Bill O'Brien also headed back to the NFL, heading back to New England to coach under Bill Belichick. We also know defensive coordinator is headed to Ole Miss, is joining Lane Kiffin's staff. So now Alabama's got two coordinators to replace. And, oh yeah, by the way, they also have a quarterback to replace as well. We know Bryce Young headed to the NFL draft, most likely going to be top three pick in the draft. So Alabama's replacing their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, their quarterback, and Jalen Milroe also, we know, has had the opportunity to see the field a good bit, you know, knocking off some of the heebie-jeebies there. It's not a completely new concept to Jalen Milroe to be in an SEC game. And we also know that so many Alabama quarterbacks of the past, it's been, you know, lock and load. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to regroup. It's just reload. So we know that Jalen Milroe has experience, but also that's a whole lot of replacement. We also know Alabama is replacing their top defensive player as well, Will Anderson, going in the NFL draft. So you've got Georgia and Alabama, two teams above LSU, who are replacing each offensive coordinator, Alabama replacing the defensive coordinator, and they each are replacing their quarterbacks and top defensive players. Tennessee, the next team above LSU in these rankings, they're replacing their offensive coordinator as well. Alex Golish has just been hired at South Florida to be their head coach. Tennessee is replacing their starting quarterback. Hendon Hooker is in the NFL draft. Now, let's not forget that who was more likely than not to be their starting guy in 2023 is Joe Milton. Joe Milton won the starting job in 2021. He had a bad game against Pitt. Hendon Hooker came in. The rest is history. So Joe Milton isn't new to being a starting quarterback, but Joe Milton is also a change in that offense. Joe Milton is also not the guy that they have had, the guy that could have led them potentially to, you know, to a college football playoff resume. It's not the guy. So you're looking at the three teams ranked above LSU in these rankings per recruiting, transfer portal, returning production, previous success. LSU is the only team ranked in the top 10 in the SEC that's not replacing an offensive coordinator. And that's not replacing a quarterback. You've got a whole lot of continuity there. I think that's one of LSU's sneaky strengths going into 2023. The coaching staff is intact. You're returning your starting quarterback. And yeah, you've got some really key pieces that you're going to have to replace. LSU also lost its top defensive player in Bijo Ojulari, but you could also make the argument that no, they didn't. That Harold Perkins is still going to be on the field in 2023. So LSU has a wonderful, wonderful gift of continuity in the positions where it matters most. Left tackle, you've got a guy who's coming into his sophomore year, had a really good freshman season. Same thing at right tackle, whole lot of continuity there. Offensive coordinator, same. Defensive coordinator, same. Starting quarterback, same. Head coach, same. These other teams in the SEC that are projected to be at the top of the SEC along with LSU, they don't have that same gift. So, I mean, I'm not going to give the edge to LSU necessarily, but I do think that it is an advantage that LSU has going into the 2023 season that we're not necessarily talking about it enough compared to the other top teams in the SEC. There's one sport where LSU absolutely is not a top team in the SEC. How can they at least get out from the bottom of the SEC? We'll get into that coming up next. Before we do that, I want to tell you about FanDuel because it is the midway point of the NBA season. It is finally here, and it's now the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, a whole lot of insurance there from FanDuel. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it is super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores to the threes drained. So I live in Nashville, and I know that a lot of people are super excited about the Grizzlies this year, super excited about Ja Morant. I'm looking even at a futures. You know what? Give me NBA MVP this year. Give it to me, Ja Morant. You can place that bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss out the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right. LSU basketball, it's bad. It's brutal. They're the bottom team in the SEC. They had a just awful, awful first half against Texas A&M over the weekend. Had a good second half. I'm going to give them credit for that. They looked better than I've seen them look in a very long time in that second half. It just wasn't enough to overcome a really rough first half where they scored like 12 points in almost 20 minutes. I mean, come on. Come on, guys. Last team in the SEC. They're on a 12-game losing streak. They're 1-11 in the SEC. They're only hanging on to that one win against Arkansas at the very beginning of SEC play. But I'm not going to get too down on this team. I'm not going to get up on my soapbox and start screaming and crying because, as I've said so many times, we expected this. Maybe not this bad, but we couldn't expect this LSU team to be, you know, one of the top in the SEC. So how can we at least start to see things turn around? LSU has a really good opportunity tonight, Tuesday night, against Georgia. Georgia is not some, you know, juggernaut of a team. Georgia is standing at 15-10 in conference play. If I can see LSU build upon what they did in that second half against Texas A&M, where offense started to click, where they were tough, they were playing hard, they were playing strong, they were playing fast. And look, I never want to question the effort of that team. I'm not going to do that. I think this team is playing their butts off night in and night out. But everything started to click against Texas A&M in that second half. If they can build upon what they did in that second half against Texas A&M and do it from the jump so they're not forced to be scratching and clawing their way back in the second half and hope that they can put enough points together in order to make up for a first half, I think they have a really good opportunity to at least get another win in the SEC against Georgia tonight, taking on South Carolina on Saturday. South Carolina is a bottom of the barrel team in the SEC as well. South Carolina just went on the road at Rupp and beat Kentucky over the weekend, but that was only South Carolina's second SEC win so far this season. So I think you're looking at two really wonderful opportunities, one tonight against Georgia and then one on Saturday against South Carolina, to at least start tacking on some conference wins. What will it mean? Honestly, nothing in the grand scheme of things. You're not a tournament team. I don't see this a team, you know, making a run in the SEC tournament. But what it is going to do is at least boost confidence. What it is going to do is at least show, okay, we struggled in the first half of conference play, but we can start to turn things around. It's not going to change the postseason. It's not going to change necessarily how I feel about this team or this coach, because how I feel about this coach is show me, just prove it to me. Show me that you can establish a foundation for this team and build for the future. This, yeah, I'm not going to look back on Matt McMahon's tenure and say, oh, well, his first year where he was forced to just pick up every single piece that he could possibly in the transfer portal, he had a terrible season. I don't think it's fair to evaluate him simply on that. Give him some time. But what it is going to do is build the confidence of this team. What it is going to do is at least start to pull this team out of last place. It may sound sad to say that you're playing just to not finish last, but that's the reality of this team. You got to get the wins where you can get them. You got to get the points where you can get them. It's not going to be easy against Alabama or Tennessee or Auburn, even against Vanderbilt, even against Missouri, even teams that, you know, aren't at the top of the SEC, but really solid teams that you see kind of floating along there in the middle. It's not going to be easy against those teams. Pick up wins where you can get them. Georgia and South Carolina, two, I don't want to say easy because in this league, no game is easy, but two games that are feasible wins. Let me see that. Georgia, again, tonight, Georgia, tip off at 7:30 Central. Saturday against South Carolina. Try and piece a couple wins there together. Pick up one of the two. I think that's going to be really key for this team to continue momentum moving forward. But that's going to do it for me today. Reminder that tomorrow is a Mailbag Wednesday. Send those questions in. You can send them in on Twitter at CarolineFenton1, or you can send them in at LockedOnLSU. You can comment below on the YouTube page. I'll get to all of your questions on a Mailbag Wednesday tomorrow. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. For your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shaden and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, hear from big-name experts, coaches, and players throughout the basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.